episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, I'll tell you what. We got a sponsor this hour.
Fire it.
Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer located up at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake. And right now you can go up there and pick out a tractor and have it delivered and be all ready for spring. So go up and see them or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
Well, uncharacteristic of most of our shows, we've had people in the studio now last week and this week. It's so much fun. It's actually a lot of fun. We talk to people on the phone all the time. But Kathy and Officer Joe decided to come back and chat with us again because we had so much fun last week. And he sent me a bunch of songs from the Wayback. Some go to the Wayback Machine to, like, the 1930s. Apparently, they were potheads back then, too. And so we thought we'd play some funny music today.
Some vintage music.
Some vintage, yeah.
Yep. And some of it, actually, there's some kind of current-y stuff. So, anyway, I got an assortment for you today of new stuff, all new stuff. But this is such a big topic. I know we cover it a lot. And the danger is everybody goes, oh, my God, are they talking about pot again today? Yeah, we are, because it's so bad. And it's so in our face.
That's right.
That's the thing. It's just on us like a smell.
It is a smell.
It is a smell.
Yeah. I couldn't resist.
In fact, I walked out to the generator the other day, and oh,
it's back again.
The neighbors must be home.
Yeah, I'm going to be sad to leave that. It's one of those things that, honestly, the biggest thing that Officer Joe and Kathy and I work on is helping people in counties and cities who are facing elected officials who want to legalize it for the purposes of tax dollars and all that stuff. I mean, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Their intention might be good, but I mean, on the surface, it makes no sense. We're gonna sell drugs so that we can have better law enforcement. Okay.
I want to know. I'm going to put it out there. What community has actually gotten any money from the state?
Then there's that. See, it doesn't turn out like they think.
No.
But the tough part is a lot of times people don't know what to say. They don't know what to say, and their knowledge comes from maybe none. Maybe they didn't deal with it all ever. Maybe they were never even, you know, tangentially connected.
Well, what good has come from legalizing it?
Right. But they feel powerless and they don't have enough tools. So I guess we talk about this a lot so that people can listen and kind of load their mouth, you know, so when they go to something, they can speak with some, at least some authority. You know, this is all factual. We're not going to give you our opinion because none of us are doctors. Nope. None of us used to be a policeman. Is it? Does it go like once a policeman, always a policeman?
Yeah, I'm going to go with that today.
Is it like dancing girls or whatever? You know, there's other professions. I guess once you're in, you're always in.
I always profile people going down the road. I always carry them.
Once you're in the mob, you're always in the mob.
You're always in the mob.
So, Aaron, we're going to talk today about the many strains, that's a play on word, many strains of failure in the state's pot industry and the new article that just came out by Paige St. John, the LA Times reporter, who is pretty liberal, by the way, and has really
and yet
done.
Has been super fair.
Yeah, has been super fair
yes.
in her reporting.
Yeah, she moved up our list, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't always happen.
No.
When they write about it, a lot of times it starts to take that you know, that detour back but it'll be great.
And then I'm going to talk to you about Enresco Labs, which is a large laboratory here in California that tests specifically cannabis, and they're one of the very legitimate labs, and how they have tested over 80% of the dispensaries in Northern California, over 1,000 lab tests, and of those, the vast majority came back with harmful substances to the human body and brain, and we're going to discuss that, and I have a couple of studies to back that up. And then finally, we're going to talk about the pot dogs of Doris.
Oh.
And from
this, yeah, if you don't care about the chemicals, you don't care about the crime, you don't care about the environment, you don't care about the cartels, you don't care about any of that. The guys that are out there growing this, not all of them, but, you know, the big cartel grows, man, it not only decimates the wildlife, but, I mean, in Siskiyou County, I can tell you for a fact, they're killing and eating dogs.
They're in the freezers.
Out there in the grows, because they found them skinned and hung and partially cooked out there.
And in the freezers.
Yeah, what could go wrong? So, all right, where do you really want to start?
Well,
because we've got, like, uncharacteristically, we have like 9 minutes.
let's talk about, because a lot of our current politicians, one of their hot issues is always human trafficking. And did you know that 70 to 80% of marijuana in legal pot shops is cultivated by victims of human trafficking?
That does not surprise me, because you have massive amounts being grown here in Northern California, and you have tons of human trafficking.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, we can all go back to Prop 64 and the promises made. And one of them, you know, was going to, you know, we're going to reduce law enforcement costs. Hello. We're going to increase tax revenue, and we're going to decrease youth access. And the black market pot would go away.
We have about 750 dispensaries, legal dispensaries in the state of California, and Newsom envisions over 7,000. So that means a cannabis dispensary on every corner. And recently, as you're aware, Aaron, and maybe your audience is not aware, but last week, Newsom passed just about every single law that the marijuana industry wanted, that favored the marijuana industry, including, and this is important for your for people thinking about their rights being infringed. This is very important for counties, because Newsom is forcing counties now to put marijuana dispensaries in their counties. So even a county like Shasta, which has enacted specific ordinances against marijuana dispensaries, the state is going to attempt to negate that and try to place it all throughout California.
And the interesting thing here, because this goes against everything that you voted for in Prop 64, we had cities, municipalities, counties had the right to choose whether they were going to be on board with Prop 64 or not. And you're taking that away.
And any talk, because this was just a week ago, right?
Right.
Last week or the week before? Yeah, last week.
Right.
So there's probably no talk yet of people going to sue or, you know, any of that kind of
thing. No, not yet. Not yet.
So what we've seen with the Democratic legislature is that they pass laws. This is very Biden-esque and now Newsom-esque. They pass laws that potentially are in violation of the Constitution or a state versus county rights. They pass those laws and then see if they're going to sue. And you get a small county like Siskiyou, Shasta, Lassen, Trinity, any of the Northern California counties, you know, they have one attorney that represents the county. It's not like they can take on the state, which can use all of our tax dollars and throw the weight of the state against the county.
Well, and then the dope growers have, you know, they've got tons of lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
But they also have, you know, mad skills when it comes to that kind of stuff in a lot of cases, because they'll sue the county and they'll name, like, the district attorney and that sort of stuff, which means they now have to go to get outside counsel. So it's not just expensive, but it's more expensive for them to do anything proactive because they're busy defending themselves.
Well, and the pro-pot people, they got an endless supply of cash.
Where does it come from, Kathy?
Well, you know, the good thing, though, if there's a good
thing... Where did they get all that money?
Well, the good thing, Aaron, is...
Where is our wrong...
Because we all know that running a legal business isn't all that profitable, right?
No, well, we know, like, that guy down south, you know that guy we're talking about, that guy who's running a potential legal business, that's going to be all a cash business, and all that money is going to go out the back door. So what are they going to report to the IRS? Now, many of these people, they put someone who does not have a criminal history, because you're not supposed to have a criminal history, although they're starting to fight that, to have a cannabis license.
Yeah, but wait, I'm not actually screwing around this time. Okay, real question.
Yep.
wasn't the deal that they made the licenses easier for people who had previously been convicted of drug crimes?
That I don't know whether that passed or not. I have to look at the legislature to see if that passed.
Well, and they're trying to make it easier for the underserved populations because, you know, gosh, we need more pot shops in the inner cities.
And, yeah, because that'll help.
Well, yeah,
and that's going to totally game changer for everybody.
And the majority of marijuana dispensaries do go into inner cities in communities of color that can least afford to have more drug,
issues
yeah. in their area.
Yeah,
and that just is truly sad that it's so underhanded because people think, oh, well, you know, because we all know it started with. What do you hate people with cancer? You know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's not even. Yeah,
there was a song on your list, by the way, that was some weirdo deal from what's his name, the Rasta guy,
Bob Marley. Or
thank you. Yeah, whose name?
I love it, a ganja.
Yeah, whose name I can't even remember. And it was all about how it was a medicine, and I almost played it just for fun, and it was like, by the time I got done listening to about 2 minutes of it, I was kind of angry, and I thought, oh, yeah, I'm not going to do it.
Hold it. Let's talk about the medicine argument just for a second.
Okay.
Please. Okay.
Oh,
yeah, all right. Yeah. So when it comes to medicine and marijuana, let's look at it. Let's look at the evidence. And so medicinal marijuana, which is now synthesized into Epidiolex or Salvatex or Marinol, one of the legal drugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's used in about 3% of the marijuana population, and that's used for very specific conditions, wasting disease for people who have cancer, or very specific young people who have seizures, and it's proven to be effective. Now, I'm not going to sit here and preach to your audience. I think if somebody's in the end of their life and they want to use anything, I don't care. Use it.
Right.
Just,
you know. The idea that...
But don't tell me it's medicine.
Right. Don't tell us it's medicine.
Yeah.
And your freedom, it's always like this. Your freedom stops where my face starts. If you're in my face, you're blowing smoke on me, you've got the stink weed, you're growing it next to me, you're using all my water, you're bringing in people of ill repute into my neighborhood at all hours of the night, I'm going to be concerned about that. That's not going to be okay by me. But if you want to use marijuana responsibly, after we tell you what they put in it, and I tell you, I give you the study from Enresco Labs, and it shows all the stuff that's in it that's harmful to you, and that includes all of you that are rubbing that CBD, because we're going to talk about
that.
And the
hemp stuff.
And
stuff.
Yeah.
You're rubbing that on your body. You're rubbing heavy metals and all kinds of chemicals on yourself. None of it is FDA approved. And this is what's interesting. When we talk about, you know, they want to declassify and deschedule this drug, believe it or not, the industry doesn't really want to. Why?
Because the regulation.
The regulatory.
And to put it through an actual blind studies and to show the world that this actually works, they don't want that to happen because it cannot pass FDA approval. Now, they're trying. There's studies out there. There's the University of Mississippi that's growing marijuana for the feds to do studies. That's going on. And you know what? But it's been going on for years. And you know what, Aaron? If all of this today, they said, okay, we're going to reset. We're going to take all of this. We're going to take it down to the Central Valley. We're going to have these big greenhouses run by Canna Agribusiness, which is what's happening anyway, by the way, because marijuana is controlled by about 12 people in the United States. 12 very rich billionaires control marijuana. So if they wanted to grow it down in the Central Valley and we could test for all the chemicals, hey, I'm okay with that. And they want to put it in the cigarette packs and they want to put it in a locked box behind at a 7-Eleven, sure. And we can keep it out of the hands for our kids, sure, like cigarettes, but we can't. And the black market isn't going away, and there isn't anybody alive right now that's going to be around when any of this stuff starts to straighten out. The market is so saturated. We went from $1,000 a pound last year to the wholesale. We're down to $300 a pound here in California because we're so saturated. One of the bills.
That's why none of it's staying.
That's
here.
Why it's getting shipped out.
That's why it's getting
because
shipped out.
It's still $3,600 to $4,000 in other places in the United States once you ship it out.
Well, you're out on your family vacation, driving along, stopping at a rest stop or whatever. You too could meet people from the cartels in California.
I believe you have a story about that. Heading up to Highway 299, don't you?
Heading up to old Susanville.
Yep.
There they were.
Yep.
I was like, hey, Bill, who's driving the minivan front and the back? My money's on enforcers.
Oh, you mean they had follow-on and layoff vans waiting for you? Yeah.
But you know, it's like around here anyway. I don't know how this works around the country, but and you should, you know, lots of people listen from elsewhere, obviously. So wherever it is you live, if you have a lot of illegal growing, you need to figure out what their vehicle of choice is, because that's really important, and how to spot the spotters. Those people that are going to follow you around to make sure that you're not the cops, that you're not, you know, going to go narc on them. And around here, it's dirty Toyota pickup trucks and little dirty minivans.
Hey, guess what?
So when you see a super, super dirty minivan, we're not talking like got busy with soccer practice and just didn't, you know,
forgot to wash the car.
Just didn't put the kids to work. Yeah. I mean, this is like,
out in the grows.
Yeah. You've been filming Lost in Space out in the desert. And
spoiler alert from, okay, how do we do the little news now? Okay, so from Highway 812 yesterday, they're now driving brand new Toyotas, and I mean brand spanking new Toyota crew cabs, and no longer do they have
one. They don't have the little ones, little two-seaters?
Those are going away. They're buying the full-size Toyotas now, and they've got two spotters in a van, because
they got a shooter and a driver.
Okay. And we know that last month, the LA Times reporter, who was taking pictures of or video of Grissette's illegal water distribution operation up there in Siskiyou, the four Hmong that stopped him and with a tire iron said they were going to shoot him and kill him.
Yep.
And then vandalized his vehicle, knocking his, you know, smashing his windows.
If you would like to read that in the New York or in the Los Angeles Times, I have posted that article on the website, because today is September 25th, 2022. You should go to the website. It's there in PDF form, which I'm sure is not what the Los Angeles Times wants me to do, but I really do want people to read it.
Firsthand account
of what happened is right there.
And so they've updated that today. In today's paper, there's a new
one. I'll have to scan that in.
The new article just came out, and Paige St. John is not done. She's going to start talking about the corruption and who's getting paid off.
See, I knew somebody would like this because it's a big story. It is a big story. All right, we have to take a really quick break because I'm totally tardy with it. Let's see. So the first song hails from 1932, and the second one starts with talking. So when you hear the talking, it isn't a commercial. It's part of the song, and it's part of the topic. So you're listening to We the People, and you can find us at We the People Radio.
.us, man.
You're fired.
You obviously didn't inhale.
Funny Reaper Man.
Reaper Man.
Oh, baby, Reaper Man.
Reaper Man.
If he trades your dimes for nickels and calls watermelon pickles, then you know you're talking to that Reaper Man.
Reaper Man.
Have you ever met Fun Reaper Man?
Reaper Man.
Have you ever met a funny Reaper Man?
Reaper Man.
If he takes wants to give you Pennsylvania, then you know you're talking to the Reaper Man.
Actually, as much as I would like to deny the fact that pot was the beginning of my usage of drugs, I mean, it's there as a fact. It was the beginning of my using of drugs. It was the first thing I touched in the drug field. I was told it was innocent by everybody that surrounded me, people that I looked up to as intellectuals and smart people. And they told me there was nothing wrong with pot. You would never graduate to anything else. Now I can walk up the street here about a block and see these same people, as intellectual as I thought they were, using heroin. I can't see myself ever using it again.
La, 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 pot. Pot, give me some pot. Yeah, what you are, you can be what you're not. Hip, hip, you wanna be hip. You know it all if you don't take a trip. Pot, pot, give me some pot.
Well, I was kind of surprised Neil Diamond was singing a song about that, but it was interesting because every piece of that song had somebody giving a first-hand testimony, and I thought, wow, how many times have we all heard that? You know.
Let me segue to my trip this week into Reading. And I did.
Can you use the word trip?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
And I want you to know that I'm now showing you my official media, and I am now official media, and I'm part of the Lens News Network, and that's the Law Enforcement News Network. And we are reporting now on the stories that others will not report on. So that's a little plug for Lens News. You're going to see more and hear more from them in the future. So this week,
we'll add that to the the pot tab on the We the People page.
Please, thank you. Okay, so this week I using my now new official media ID, I was down in the homeless camps in Reading. And I had the opportunity to go in there and interview some of the homeless. And it's funny that the gentleman that we just listened to, that when I started talking to these homeless people, who, by the way, were genuinely nice to me, and they were not threatening to me, and when they knew that I wasn't going to arrest them or harass them or do something to them, they opened up about their lives. And I heard just a sad story about their trip and pursuit into drugs and how that took them into being homeless. And
how many, like the connection between drugs and the homelessness?
One-on-one.
Okay. Oh. That's kind of what I figured.
Yeah. It's one-on-one. Yeah. So, and we talked about marijuana. As a matter of fact, when I was there, one of them was smoking a blunt. And if, for those that don't know what a blunt is you take tobacco, hand roll it, and you mix marijuana. When you don't have enough marijuana, you kind of mix it with the tobacco. So you get the, nicotine and the THC. So they were smoking that while I was there. Okay, no big deal. Tried not to breathe it in, you know, because I don't want to die. I don't want cancer.
You should test that Lens Media guy.
Yeah, right.
I think you might be a pothead, Fokker.
Well, hold it. Please tell your audience, how am I dressed today for you? How am I dressed? Do I look like Bob Marley?
Yeah, yeah.
A white Bob Marley?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, guys, I got my ganja hat on.
I don't think he wears glasses either.
When I wear, I'll put my sunglasses on.
He's probably younger. Oh, now you look legit.
Now I got the dark glasses.
Now you look legit.
When I came back from Weed, California yesterday, I stopped at the weed store, and no, they don't sell weed. They might out the back door, but they don't out the front door. And so they had this cornucopia of T-shirts and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I picked up a bunch of weed police hats for all my Met deputies. So all the Met deputies are getting weed police beanies from me. So I brought back a shirt, and it says, enjoy weed. And it's Weed California. It's not Weed the Marijuana, but it's in weed colors.
They've always skirted that issue. From the crossover.
Yeah.
So talking to these homeless, they've had babies out there. Many of them have lived out there many years, and they have mental health issues going on. But some of them said, I'm not crazy. I'm just homeless. You know, I had an abusive parent. I got kicked out when I was 14. I got on the streets. I got pregnant. I began to use marijuana, and then I started to use meth. And so for a lot of them, the trip from marijuana always goes on to harder drugs, meth or heroin. And that's what they're facing out there. It's funny because I asked them, I said, have you ever seen anybody from the city council out here? And they said, who? And I said, you know, we've got a person running, Erin Reznor. She's going to run for board of supervisors. Has Erin ever been out here and talked to you? They didn't know who she was. So it appears to me that perhaps maybe our city has not doing the job they need to do in dealing with our homeless. Well, other than cleaning them out. They do a good job cleaning them out.
No, I think they do. They try. Because when law enforcement does go out, they do go out with other organizations. So they go out with, you know, the Good News Rescue Mission people. They go out with the Hope Band. They offer these people resources.
The hard part is if you don't.
Yeah, but they don't want them. Right. They don't want to live somewhere where they have to follow rules. They don't want to be accountable to somebody.
Well, so, and you'd have to be interested in giving up your drug addiction.
Right. And, you know, it's like you can lead a horse to water.
I listened to one girl. I'm gonna oppose both of you. I listened to one girl, you know, and obviously.
Oh, I didn't know it was going to be like that.
No, it is. There's going to be opposition. I'm pushing back.
What the hell?
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Look, I'm hardened.
We have a caller on the line.
I'm very hardened. Oh, okay, good night. I'm very hardened as a policeman, so I know my heart is not soft, but I felt pretty soft for some of these people when they talked about their lives. And the girl that I talked to, her name was Shannon. People will know her. She's actually a very pretty blonde. She was clean. She had her makeup on. She spoke to me, openly. And she said, you know, I'd like to go to college, and I don't know how to make that happen. I'd like somebody to help me, and I'd like to pull myself up out of here. Because I asked them all, I said, where do you see yourself in 5 years? You know, and a couple of them said, I probably will be dead. But she did not. She said, and then I said, well, how would you fix homeless in the community? And she said, well, and she pointed across the street over to the veterans, an old veterans clinic, and she said, I would have the city take that building over. I would turn that into small housing. We'd look at something like that. And she goes, we actually police ourselves out here. I said, how do you live? She goes, we do barter with other people. And I go, yeah, but there's people that steal and do lots of drugs out here and create a lot of mayhem. And she goes, not me. She goes, this is my family right here. And she pointed to four or five people around her.
So how'd she end up there?
Yeah. So her story was at 14, Her mom was an alcoholic, abusive relationship. Father wasn't there. She couldn't handle it anymore. She moved out. She began living on the street. And about 5 years later, she got married. And she had a stable life, and she had kids, and she was married for 6 years. And the marriage fell apart, and the husband kept the kids. Actually, I'm sorry, she kept the kids, but she was now living homeless. And so CPS, Child Protective Services, came and took her kids because she could no longer care for them. And so she now been living on the street. She's 39 now. So from 14 to 39, she's only lived 6 years of her life where she felt, she said, I've lived 6 years of my life where I'm normal. She goes, every time I walk out here, I walk up to the corner. There's these creepy guys that are always trying to get me to, you know, engage in prostitution. She said, it's disgusting. She said, I have to worry about being out here at night. She said, that's why I hang around with this very small group of people and try to keep myself safe. She goes, some of the police are really nice and they really try hard with us. And she goes, some of the other ones, they're pretty hard, you know.
So why not go to one of the myriad of places that is kind of set up to do that transition?
Yeah, I think she said she's tried on two occasions, and she said some of the rules became so onerous for her. She wanted to live, you know, a free life, and she just couldn't do it anymore.
And
I think that's part of the homeless condition, right? I mean, a lot of people feel that way. So for her, it's going to be bad. And so I think the cycle of drug addiction will continue. She wasn't high the day I was there. She was absolutely stone sober and very – and I've got her interview, and we're going to play that at some point, Aaron. I videotaped all these interviews, and including the gentleman who wouldn't give me his name, and he called himself AWOL, and he said he was wanted in four different states and that he was absconding from parole. So those people are out there. Those people are out there, too.
Well, that makes everyone feel better. It's like, oh, that's that is actually happening.
No, he's out there in our community. And that is, some of the homeless are that way. You know, they're criminals.
Well, the trick is, if it was just putting people in a house or whatever,
right.
But there's just so much more that has to be done because at the end of the day, how do they pay for everything? How do they?
Well, not only that, I mean,
who takes care of it?
And I have a friend that their church has been pushing for those tiny homes. And it's just, they get so much pushback from the city. It's like the city goes, yeah, let's do this. And then all of a sudden, there's all these rules now. And so what do you do? Like, we're trying, but what do you do?
Yeah, and you have to have rules. You can't just use everybody's taxpayer dollars, build a homeless shelter, you know, a housing development, and then say, have at it, guys.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that isn't
so
realistic.
Yeah, you're setting yourself up to
fail. Let's circle this back to cannabis and to marijuana.
Yes, please.
Okay, so the city, in its infinite wisdom, went against the Planning Commission when they decided they were going to put the manufacturing honey oil facility right next to the Good News Rescue Mission, right? So these people who are homeless, that's one of the things I mentioned. I said, don't you go down to the Good News Rescue Mission? And they said, yeah, we do. But, you know, when you walk down there and you walk from here to there, which is, what, a couple of miles? They have to walk down to the mission, and they go, you're starving, you haven't eaten all day, and they sit you down and they want to they want to talk to you about God. And I've been there, I've served at the mission, so I understand what that is, and that's a necessary part of the mission. But if someone's if somebody's starving, they need food, and
I've watched
some of the
brief.
People come in there that are just stoned out, you know, really stoned out. So that's sad. I left feeling that day with them, and I said I would report their stories to the Board of Supervisors, and I will. Over time, I'll report their stories, and I have them on videotape. And I also told them that I would come back and talk to them again, and I will. I didn't feel unsafe there. I felt, you know, after they warmed up, at first they didn't want to talk to me, but they saw the media badge and they said, oh, that guy's media, let's talk to him. So that really opened the door.
Sure. Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As soon as I went like this.
How did they feel that was a
good thing?
Yeah. Why was that?
Well, I told them I wanted to tell their story, unvarnished truth about their story. I said, I'm not going to gloss it over. I said, just talk to me, and I'll try to tell your story through your words, not mine. And they said, okay, you'll say what we're saying. And I said, yes, I'll tell your story through you. And I asked each one of them, I said, if you were to tell Aaron Reznor from the city.
Or any city or council.
Any city council, right? If you were to tell them, you know, what would you tell them? And it was funny. Most of them just said, hey, treat us like human beings. We're human beings out here. Just treat us like human beings. That's all we really expect. You know, We don't. They weren't saying like give us free stuff. They were going to just treat us like human beings. So,
did you see drug use when you were there?
Yeah.
Yes, I saw the guy smoking a blunt. You know, he rolled up a blunt and smoked it while I was there. So, yeah. But IV drug use, no. Using crack or using meth, I didn't see any of that. I saw mental illness. I saw a gal who is certainly, to me, in my judgment as a peace officer, would be somebody who would have mental health issues. Definitely mental health issues.
When we talk about mental health, too, because I need to tap on this, we get calls all the time about parents looking for help for their youth.
Yep.
All the time. Guess what? There is nothing. There is nothing local to help these kids with their addiction or mental health problems.
You would have, okay, so you're a, give me a, just because we all see stuff like this in movies, on TV, on the news. So just to be clear, I take from that, that a parent has a kid who's using drugs, doesn't come home, doesn't follow the rules, won't listen, and is a threat to the family. And is not 10 years old any longer.
Right.
And so they can't control them, physically control them. Maybe are they going to school or not going to school?
I think it's a little of both. A lot of the parents that call, they just don't know where to turn. And they know there's some mental health issues going on from these kids. And whether they lash out or not, I don't know. But they don't know what else to do. And so the only thing that we can point them to is public health. And there is just no help there for our young people.
So even if, because like he was saying, like if they went to the mission, they don't like maybe like all the rules, they don't like that sort of thing. This isn't a case of they don't like how it works. There just isn't an option.
Right.
Is it,
and it's really sad because you hear these parents on the phone and you just want to,
yeah.
Of course, then the mom and me is like, just bring them over. I'll tie them to the tree. I'll do it. We'll take care of this.
They can hulk them to my home.
Well, no, but I mean, it's it's hard as a parent. You know, it's hard. You want your kids to grow up, but yet, you know, this is what's out there. It's in their faces as much as it's in ours. Mm-hmm. And they're going to experiment with them, and then all of a sudden, you don't know what to do. It's gotten out of hand. And what do you do?
Yeah, and if the kid doesn't want any help.
Right.
If the kid, okay, so let's pick the kid who say, got some bad friends in
7th grade.
Yeah.
Let's come on, because we're seeing it really young.
Yeah, I was going to say 6th grade, but okay, 7th grade.
Let's try 7th.
And, you know, gets into some stuff they shouldn't be involved in, and then kind of realizes, uh-oh, I'm in too deep, and
I don't know how to get out.
And I don't really want to be in this. Is there help for that kid?
Nope.
The kid who wants to turn it around, unless the parents can afford to send them to rehab.
Right. Right. Yeah, they're just, and it's not local. That's the sad thing is we have no local resources for our young people.
When does the service pick up? After 18?
Yeah.
Okay. So
when
if you're
an adult.
So if you're a minor, it's all on the parents.
Yeah.
Okay. So in your travels, I guess, through the Yellow Pages or wherever you go. Gosh. Really dates me. I know about Yellow Pages. Everyone in here knows about Yellow Pages.
This is rotary phones.
This is a senior community right here. Okay, so if
now there's counselors out there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, there are counselors out there for young people.
Now what about
the team? They are so overwhelmed with patients. Like they literally have full books of patients.
So the teen centers that are here and in town or in town and in Anderson, those cater pretty much to kids that are already on the straight and narrow and just want to have
because they have to fill activities. Yeah, they have to fill in an application to even go and attend, and you have to have parent permission, and it's not just a walk in. We welcome you. It's not that. It's not that kind of.
It doesn't work like that.
Mm-mm.
And that makes it
It really tough when you don't.
Well, that sets up the Shannon.
Yep.
You know, that's how they wind up on the street. And if the parents are intolerant of that, or it's causing enough problems in the family, which you got to know that this does, they're a little bit hamstrung.
Yeah.
All right, we have to take a really quick break. We're going to come right back. Joe over there obsessing on his papers. He's getting ready to rapid fire us with something else. When we come back, be prepared. It's coming.
Petri dish time. Petri dish.
Oh, okay. All right. I knew there was something going on over there. He was too quiet. always worry about the quiet ones.
We're going to talk about the big C.
Oh, the big C.
And it ain't cannabis. And it's not cannabis.
No. It's the bad one. All right. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, much better.
Okay, thanks.
Radio moments. Sorry, Aaron.
I didn't get We Won't Smoke with Willie Anymore because I couldn't get a good cut off of that one.
Okay.
And after this one, I think that's what led me into the spoon playing.
That was an Arlo Guthrie.
I'm loving
original.
This music.
That was Little Feet.
Yeah, that was a redo.
Oh, it was a redo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't go with the original. I am so sorry.
No.
They had one on there that was Bob Dylan, but I'm sorry. Bob Dylan makes me want to stab a fork in my eye, so we have no Bob. I have 522 songs in here, and none of them involve Bob Dylan, and they never will. And there are no forks in the building, I hope. So
let's just talk.
You already committed the faux pas. You're on second. You're in the batter's cage.
Yeah, we'll get back to him. Because I mentioned before, when we talk about Prop 64, I cannot believe how much you can find on this, and how we were duped into this. I mean, honestly, we were totally duped into this, and it was from people that just wanted to open a pot shop and make money.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to
the
do
dope
with
store
anything.
The concept is profitable as long as you work with the black market, which we got to go back to.
Yeah, I mean, and we have failed to protect our youth. We have failed to protect our environment. We have failed to protect the citizens of California by unleashing the big boys to move into our state. The cartels, the Mongs, the other crime syndicates who set up vast grows. We are seeing an increase in kidnaps and murders.
Yeah, like 52 up in Siskiyou, I think, to this date.
We have failed our law enforcement.
Yeah, because they're completely overwhelmed.
Yeah, they're overwhelmed. But yet, that was one of the things saying we're going to, that by allowing legal pot shops and cultivators, law enforcement costs will go down.
Yeah, and that's happened nowhere. And besides that, you know, these people aren't growing illegally. I just always go back to this. Like, where in the universe are there cartel crimes that once you legalize whatever it is they're doing, they run out and get business licenses?
Right.
Well, it just doesn't happen.
Well, and here in the city of Reading, my biggest contention with the city of Reading is they thought this was such a cool idea. We're going to bring in all this tax money. And I want to know, what type of law enforcement are they doing? Do they go out regularly to the pot shops? Are they testing the pot for chemicals? Are they even testing for whether they're selling to underage? Are they even finding out where this pot is even going or where it's coming from? You know,
how would you even know that?
Well,
that's always kind of the thing. It's like, how do you even know that?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is, why would you let a business come in if you have no intention of ever doing anything about it?
And you know
monitoring
that,
it, yeah.
Yeah, and you know that the monitoring of it is going to be
do we know how much money has actually come into the county as a result of
not county. Not county.
City.
City.
Nobody seems to track that.
Oh, no, I ask it, but right. All they talk about is how much has come in. But keep in mind,
they don't talk about the cost.
All those dollars go into the general fund.
Right.
So once it goes into the general fund,
it's not matched against the law enforcement costs, society's mm-hmm. costs, nope. the kids that you're talking about
nope.
in school mm-hmm. that have real easy access nope. to all this high-grade stuff.
Nope.
So tell us back about the testing thing in the stores.
Yeah, so let me, I misspoke and I said there were 750 dispensaries in California. That was the number of last year. This year they've got it up to 1,000. So what happened is this company called Anresco Labs, which is probably the premier cannabis testing lab in the Western United States, they decided that they would start checking all the dispensaries. And they went to, in August, they went to HempCon, which is a trade show, and they took samples out of the trade show, and they found, guess what? All the product, 80% of the products came back with tainted with mold, pesticides, and harmful solvents. So let's talk about
the
when
old
we talk about
solvents,
pesticide,
could be toluene.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. And so the risky products there were cannabis extracts, and the potential health problems came back as reproductive toxicity and cancer. I'm going to let you talk about cancer, Aaron, but I'm going to talk about reproductive toxicity. And this is a short story. Back in 2012, when we were sitting in the city of Reading Council Chambers, and I sat next to a girl with a huge belly, 9 months pregnant, and she got up and spoke about how cannabis use was great for morning sickness and how it helped her all the way through her pregnancy. And she didn't think about the maternal fetal blood brain syndrome going to her baby and all the bad things that was happening to her baby. Now we know, and we're starting to get that information out, but we're going to have to keep pushing it out. 30% of America is going to try recreational marijuana. About 12 to maybe 18% are going to use it on a regular basis. So all of this damage that's occurring in our world, all of this damage in our society is, again, for a very small percentage of society. And of that 12 to 18%, the real legitimate marijuana users are down in single percentage. Single percentage. You can't grow aspirin in your backyard. Do not tell me you can grow marijuana in your backyard as an effective medicine. Can it stone you and take away pain? Yeah. So can a hammer blow to the head. I mean, you know, it's really...
That's a fair point.
Well, I thought you'd like that, right? Yeah. So talk to us about cancer, Aaron, because I know you're pretty good at cancer and Dr. Reese's study.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. Anybody that has maybe just wandered into the radio at this particular point or somebody sending you this show, I never want to assume that everybody's heard everything because, well... That's silly, but
it's not the hearing; it's the listening.
Well, there's that the observing.
Yeah.
But if you were to go to wethepeopleradio.us and you look at the tab labeled pot, it's right next to archives. So when you go to the pot tab, you will find a whole bunch of shows dating back to 2017, and we have medical professionals. So this isn't just like our opinion based on our opinion, and it's I have somebody who always accuses me of it being my, what is it? I have an emotional problem with it or something. It's like anybody who knows me knows I'm not all that emotional to start with.
You mean that pot guy from down south?
Yeah, that one in particular feels the need to get wounded about it about every month, which is just weird. I'm apparently living rent-free in their head.
You are.
Yeah, which is always kind of strange for someone I've never met. But
all the fun we have.
But, oh, the furniture I'll bring in. So I think I'm going to set up a security system, though, in my rental. There's a guy named Dr. Stuart Reese, and he is in our archives multiple times. I think we'll speak with him again soon. And cannabis and childhood cancer, cannabis in all forms, takes a weed whacker to your chromosomes. That is a hot tip. I have never spoken to anyone who said, oh, yeah, I read all about that. I totally know about that. No one knows about that. And it screws up your chromosomes for four generations, not just one. So this decision that, you know, marijuana is wonderful and it's legal and it's in these dope stores and so it's got to be fine. And for that reason, it's got to be fine. And that is what a lot of people use as criteria. Well, they wouldn't be selling it. It wouldn't be legal to sell it if it was,
well,
if it wasn't.
Yeah, and we can really date ourselves in this room But if we remember back in the tobacco days, when the doctors would get up and tell you how wonderful it was to smoke cigarettes.
My doctor smokes unfiltered Camels.
Oh, yeah. And how wonderful this was. And you'd see pictures of them.
Yeah.
And,
well, I was a big fan of Marlboro Man.
Yeah.
He was cool.
He was super cool.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Joe Camel was a cartoon, so yeah. Not
you
as
know,
cool.
You know,
are we not
he lived here in Reading. You knew that, right?
No. You did what?
The Marlboro Man lived here in Reading. I used to work out with him at the old Gold's Gym, and he had stopped smoking at that point in his life. And
he looked like he was 900 years old.
He did. He was an old, grizzled looking guy, and of course, you know, cigarettes took him away.
He's not the guy in the picture who was naked walking down the street holding a dog in front of him that looked like a fox, was he?
I remember
Aaron,
that.
I don't know what website you're looking at, but yeah, I haven't seen that one.
It was an actual picture, and I've got it on my computer.
Okay, coming back to Anresco Labs.
I was thinking of the Marlboro Man. His life just had gone down the drain, and that's how I pictured down the drain.
Well, and what we are not what we're not connecting is that the pot industry is using the playbook exactly from the tobacco industry, like page for page.
Yeah, let's take advantage of the fact that a lot of people don't want to do it. Let's take advantage of the fact that a lot of people won't do their homework. Let's take advantage of the fact that the media will totally bury the science for like
years.
Ever.
Yeah.
And then people won't do research.
And we got to addict the kids because we got to have future clients.
Well, there's that. Mm-hmm.
You mean the pot sign that's on 273 here going out of town on Market Street that talks about a nice, come and have a nice something
sandwich.
At a restaurant, and then you can also consume your edibles. You can have your edibles, and it's on the same sign. We'll talk about that afterwards. I'm not going to badmouth a local business yet. All right, so we're talking about Anresco, and what Anresco found was pesticide levels 1,000 times higher in concentrates than we might normally find in food. So that's going into the body. Now, everybody can recall out there in Radio Land, and when you were back in science class, and you'd get out the Petri dish of you know, sterile media, and you'd make a swab maybe from the inside of your nose, and then you put it there, and you come back the next day, and it would look like, you know, something from the moon. Here you go, Aaron. I'm going to show
you. All the scary, creepy stuff
that would grow. I'll give you a picture, okay? So what came out of that was that we have another potential
problem. It's like a bathroom in a rest stop there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Lung infections and cardiovascular issues. And we know that heavy marijuana use is definitely related to cardiovascular issues. So the UC Davis Medical Center was treating cancer patients and found that a number of them were developing rare lung infections. And one of their patients actually died after smoking or vaporizing medical marijuana, which, of course, is supposed to be tested. So I've actually had people tell me who have emphysema, they go, oh, I smoke or vape marijuana. It makes me feel better. I'm going, yeah, okay. You have diminished lung capacity and you're putting a burnt substance into your lungs. That's filled with chemicals. That's going to
Everybody thinks
okay
it's some organic thing. And by the way, I'm going to pass around the picture that was actually taken right. It's like not far outside our studio, actually. It's on the street right out there. And it was of an actual man.
I remember that.
Do you remember that? See? I told you I wasn't making it up.
Yeah. No.
And the poor RPD officer is wondering, why didn't I bring my gloves today?
He's thinking, we're definitely taking the dog with us. Well, this is a Full Monty situation. Is there a 911 for Full Monty? Do you guys have that? Or radio? Is there a radio code for Full Monty?
Yeah. You just say use BSI, which means body substance isolation. That means you go to the back, you put your gloves on, you put your face mask on, you know, the one they can spit on you. You get out the spit mask. You get out the hobble restraints.
Wow.
There's a lot of touching going on there. I'm thinking I'm going to go with the dog.
There's a lot of PPE goes on there.
All right, sorry.
So guess what's in some of this marijuana, right? So we're making all these products to vape and things like that, and we've got all these residual solvents and chemical accelerants in them. And at high concentrations, there's even a lot of propylene glycol, which that absolutely destroys lung tissues.
Yeah, it's what is propylene? Antifreeze.
Oh, yeah.
It's antifreeze, okay.
Oh,
and then that's used as a...
not good for you, your dog.
Yeah, right. Whoa, let's talk about dogs. Oh, my God. Now you
well,
got
we
me.
Only have like a minute.
Okay, well,
God.
Don't give your dog CBD, please.
Yeah.
That you're giving them the same chemicals
that are going
in your body.
And they actually just sent out a thing that said, don't give your dog... CBD.
States are starting to outlaw it, and the pot people are going like, but my dog needs it. My dog needs it. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, we're okay. We still have like Well, I got 20 seconds.
I gotta say this one line.
All right.
If you are not part of the solution, then you are the problem.
Personal responsibility? Oh, say it's not.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Come on.
We're going to come back with more of it and stick with us. So, September 25th, 2022, you're listening to We the People, and you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
One joke over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station. One joke over the line. I'm waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary. Hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station. One joke.